welcome back. We're in hour two of Immunize Wisely with our esteemed guest, Dr. Martin Paul, and my co-host, Jenna Chaputis. So you were getting ready to make a point there, and if you could just back a little bit so people that are just listening to the second hour can, you know, get that point more complete.
Okay. Well, I was just starting. I actually wanted to backtrack into the autism thing for a minute, because I really didn't give you any evidence in support of what I was saying. Okay. We know that, you know, so EMFs act by activating these VGCCs, these voltage-gated calcium channels. And we know that when you activate the VGCCs, it can cause autism. We know that from mutational studies. And both from rare mutations that have powerful effects on activating the VGCCs, and from more common things by what are known as genetic polymorphisms, which increase the susceptibility to developing autism. So people who have the higher activity are more susceptible to developing autism. And so, you know, so this isn't just a hypothesis. We have the evidence that clearly shows that that main mechanism of action of the EMFs, in fact, has roles in causing autism. By the way, we also know that that's true in Alzheimer's, that the excessive VGCC activity causes Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, so there's a lot of good evidence from these other kinds of studies. And this goes to something that I started out in my talk. When you know what's going on, it gives you all kinds of information about other things that are less certain. Okay? So when you know the EMFs work by VGCCs, you know from genetic studies that those things have roles in causing various kinds of diseases. And therefore, you know, you have at least a basic expectation that EMFs are going to do the same. So when you go and you see evidence that they do that, that supports the conclusion. And
let me just mention, it's pretty interesting. This is about 3 years ago. They published an article in the Weston A. Price Foundation Journal. It's a quarterly journal, and they've been having great articles. And these people, touched on all of this, and especially with these kids that are hyperactive or on the spectrum, autism spectrum, they just asked everyone to please do the test, you know, turn off all these wireless, start cording up, and they give everyone how to minimize their exposure, at least in the house. And, of course, you know, hopefully they're homeschooling, because that's pushed in this network. Anyway, the results were phenomenal. Just actually cutting off their consistent exposure to all this stuff changed the whole household. These children started communicating better, the whole thing. And also clay baths have been amazing for these children with autism, because it pulls out the excess radiation as well as a lot of the heavy metals that get in from the vaccines and stuff. So it helps do that detox, and they actually will ask for a bath. You know, their mud bath, they call it. But, I mean, it's just very fascinating to me that, you know, the parents are, you know, that actually pay attention and get some of this information are helping to recover their children in a real way, you know.
Can you email me the
I will.
The paper on that, the citation on it? Yeah. Because I don't know about that.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
Yeah, okay,
it was really well received by the journal. Well, they do letters to the editor too, and it's an excellent journal. You may want to even publish it in, because you'll get a lot of exposure in it. So, yeah, okay. And I'm sure they'd welcome an article. It's called Wise Traditions.
Yeah. If you could email it to me, that'd be great. Okay, so I was going to tell you about another thing that I think is really centered on this issue of the synaptic connection. And this came out of a book by one of the top neuroscientists in the world. His name is Robert Sapolsky. He's at Stanford University. And he has a whole chapter in his book on this conversion from sort of adolescence to adulthood. Adolescents have a number of different things that make them different. They are very susceptible to group pressure. So they tend to try to conform a lot. And they also are very poor at assessing risk. And this goes in both ways. They can think that things that aren't very risky, in fact, are very risky, or vice versa, things that they think are so it goes both ways. You can both overestimate and underestimate risk, and so they get themselves into trouble as a consequence of that. And there's also a lot of violence in late adolescence. And all of these things are sort of tamped down as people developed more adult behavior. Uh-huh. And the mechanism that's involved, and this is what Sapolsky talks about, has to do with, first of all, the development of the frontal cortex in the brain, including the prefrontal cortex, and the connection and the many different synaptic connections between the frontal cortex and other parts of the brain. So it basically helps control the other parts of the brain, and you develop more adult-like behavior as a consequence of that. Okay. Now, what's been shown is that, first of all, excessive BGCC activity can suppress the development of the frontal cortex in animals.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't develop properly. And then, as I told you before, the excessive intracellular calcium that's produced as a consequence will disrupt the proper synaptic connections. And so we have every reason to think that this is going to happen at this stage in development, as it apparently does very early, much earlier in development in autism. Now, what happens then if you have a lot of adults who have uncontrolled adolescent behavior, who are very susceptible to group pressure, and maybe have tendencies towards violence? And what happens? You know, and what are we seeing in our world? Well, one of the things we're seeing is that they're violent groups that seem to have a much easier time in getting recruits. Yeah, you know, and I'm talking about political groups or religious groups. I'm talking about ISIS. I'm talking about all kinds of things. And so that's one thing that we're seeing is you know, in our world. And of course, we're seeing a lot of violence. And what happens when people can't assess risks properly and respond in a violent way? You can see a lot of the things that we see around, I believe, may be a consequence of that. So, you know, now... This is speculation. It's informed speculation, but nevertheless, it's speculation. But my point here is there are so many things that we see going on in our world and we're absolutely baffled by, and almost all of them can be explained as being a consequence of EMF exposures. That doesn't mean that explanation is necessarily correct, but what it does mean is if we have any sense, we need to look at those things very, very carefully. And right now, what's happening is the media don't cover anything on EMFs other than industry propaganda crap. And, you know, and the politicians don't know which way to jump. And, you know, that's where we are.
There, you know, the FCC has ignored the court order where they had to update their regulations and, you know, the biological mechanisms since, what were they operating on, 1996? And that was back in 20, when was the federal court case? Was that in 2022 or 2021?
Year or two ago, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was August 24th, 2021 or something, and they prevailed, you know, and it's like a court order, you know, that you have to update your regulations. Well, that none of that's done, you know.
And
that,
it's not only is none of that done, but the FCC to this day only has industry crap on their website.
Right, it's just like the CDC. I mean, all of these government agencies are captured government agencies working for corporate interests versus preserving biological life. You know, we've all – it's all pretty criminal as far as I'm concerned.
There was a document that was published by the Harvard Safra Institute for Ethics that is entitled "The FCC is a Captured Agency."
Right.
You know, so specifically about the FCC. I mean, these things can easily cause the destruction of human civilization. I think we're going rapidly in that direction. And, you know, when you have our brain function disintegrating, that alone, obviously, reproduction crashes to zero, which it may well do, we're extinct. and when you keep introducing new exposures like 5G, you don't know what they're going to do. You really don't know what they're going to do. I have to say, people have asked me when I criticize the safety guidelines, okay, what do you propose? My answer is, I don't have the foggiest idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do know is that predicting effects is extraordinarily complex and extraordinarily difficult. That's what I do know. And so, you know, we're just basically playing Russian roulette with the entire world. You know, I mean, it's the whole thing is insane. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is very insane. And another layer to this assault, this bodily assault, we did share an Amanjabi presentation with Dr. Paul, and he elaborates further on how the specific technology in the digital ID and how that is being rolled out. And I feel like that is the reason, because they're completely disregarding health effects. And it's alarming, but when we understand that the plan is not about the well-being of the population, and it is going in a very prison-like assault in our lives. And Dr. Paul, you do you have a comment about Amanjabi's work and how it's being applied?
I saw his interview, and I did find it terribly disturbing. And I, you know, the thing is, I don't really know that much about the things he talks about. So I can't talk about it, but I find that I found his presentation to be credible and very disturbing. So, but basically what he's arguing is that they're setting up the structure so that all of us will be basically slaves, basically automatons being controlled. And I don't know, I guess I'm not absolutely sure he's right about these things, but I find it extremely disturbing, his presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, most people would concur that bringing China into America is disturbing. This is basically, where we're in a digital prison, and they demonstrated in Western China in remote areas, mm-hmm. where they absolutely had complete control of these people, their thoughts. They had zero privacy. They were being monitored 24/7, and they couldn't make a break. And it was quite horrifying, the articles they wrote about that during, plandemic, whatever, scamdemic. And this is the kind of stuff they can easily bring here. And they're doing this kind of stuff with they call it the deep state, in different parts. They're attacking Trump supporters and doing, I read an article and, two people in Texas were totally targeted for asset forfeiture, and it was literally a hit, because they were clearly patriot, and Trump supporters, both. And I find that horrifying, because we don't have any courts that are functional. I mean, it's all dependent on the judge and, who appointed him, whether it was Obama or Biden versus someone that, was like Trump appointed. And there's a huge divide there. And there's no real constitution. We have this corporate overlay. So we're considered just, a commodity with our birth certificate, as a U.S. citizen. And what power do we have? No, everything is turned upside down. So, most people are finding some of these things, from Mamanjabi. I mean, it's like, we talked about this like 20 years ago with Agenda 2030, and we saw these lights and, this whole surveillance system coming in at traffic lights and different locations around us, building these, sustainable development of our cities, and it was all under the guise of that. And they were getting huge grant money from the federal government to funnel them into creating this digital surveillance under the guise of sustainable development.
Yeah, convenience, safety, mm-hmm. and security. And they're not safe, and they're not lending to security. And all of this is under that pretense of communitarian governance, that this is good for us. And me personally, seeing our commissioners, like, this is the first time they've ever heard that there are health effects, because people are just so compartmentalized in what they're doing, building out infrastructure, because so much, and they're just rolling it out. In the past 2 years, we've seen more infrastructure here in our tiny town, along with the LED streetlights. And I did bring that up in a conversation with you, Dr. Paul, and you're like, there is a different mechanism here. It's different than EMFs, but they are harmful also to our health.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, the LED streetlights have too much of this blue wavelength in them, and that there are lots of people, including myself, who have sleep problems now, and it's gotten almost universal. So that's a problem with the blue coloration of those lights, the particular wavelength that they use. But, you know, what Amanjabi was talking about was that they apparently have cameras in there that are recording what's going on around. And that's a completely different issue.
Right.
But, you know, is even more disturbing. Let me just say, I just want to say something about, you know, I mean, so the government has expressed concern about Huawei, the Chinese telecom company, coming in here because they could use, you know, the 5G system to spy on us. But having said that, I don't know that the telecom companies are any better than Huawei. And what they're doing now is an absolute stunning violation with any concern about humanity. And so why should they be trusted any more than Huawei? You know, I don't see it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And so that's where we are.
Yeah, I totally go ahead, Jenna.
So, I was just going to say, the interview that we are talking about is Buck Johnson, Our Coming Digital Prison with Amanjabi. And that was just out 4 days ago. And I'm going to put the link in the chat room at immunizewisely.chitango.com if anyone wants to listen to that interview.
Really appreciate it, Jenna, because it's what's nice about the chat room is we can go back. You know, some people don't get to the archives until Monday, and then they can still access that information. So it's nice to have that direct thing there. So, we don't need to go into something that, you know, you're not as familiar with, like, you know, the streetlight stuff. We're dealing with that here locally. Just very concerned about, you know, the tag on of technology. And Itron is the company that makes, you know, smart meters and is doing the whole sustainability for these cities that are getting these federal grants. It's all, you know, Itron is one of the big companies in this business of unrolling this type of harmful technology. So yeah, it's there. It's there.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, we have all these memory care centers, and I've noticed you go into one of these memory care centers, I remember even just an assisted living place, and you can't get them to turn off the wireless. It comes out of their office, and no one's using it but the administration, and they're not there on the weekends, and you know, the place is always, like, red hot, and yet they're... And they're, you know, dealing with people that should not have dementia, you know. And so, you know, I found that whole angle very fascinating, what it's doing to the brain and how it's fueling, you know, this epidemic. Because we used to say the flu shot, if you got the flu shot, you know, more than, you know, two or three times in 10 years, each time you took the flu shot, it increases your chance of dementia because of the... You know, the aluminum in the flu shot, and other stuff. But now we have this on top of it, so I'm sure it's interacting with the metals in your body, because that's, you know, even Shannon Rowan, you know, she wrote a book on, you know, she's a wireless Wi-Fi refugee. Excellent book, by the way. She's a delightful guest. I could introduce you to her. But she found that, when she needed a detox from some of the metals in her body, and all these things to reduce the hypersensitivity, you know, when she started doing those kind of things. So when you have, you know, the metals in your body from the vaccines and other types of exposure, I mean, there's all kinds of exposures that we get, heavy metals in our body. And then you augment that, you know, with this this wireless stuff. It seems to, like, you know, really feed each other, you know, having both the metals in your... Don't you agree?
Yeah, and it's not just heavy metals. Mm-hmm. There are other things that are of concern, including, for some reason, they put glutamate in vaccines. I don't know why. And they also put neomycin as an antibiotic in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both excitotoxins. They both produce stimulation of the mechanism I didn't really refer to before about how chemicals act to increase intracellular calcium. That's also through this same pathway. And that's activated by neomycin and glutamate. So I don't know. You know, there are also some other concerning things here as well. And I
Dr. Paul, you did mention that you were thinking of a test to identify EHS.
Yeah.
Is there a?
I've actually got two of them.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to know what they are?
Sure.
Okay, well, one of them has to do with the, you remember I talked about the secretion of parathyroid hormone? I think that's, in fact, a good way of identifying people with EHS. That is, when they're exposed to low-level EMF exposures, you will get a very rapid increase in parathyroid hormone in the blood, and there is a clinical test for that. You can take a blood sample and have it tested. So the prediction is that you're going to see a rapid increase in parathyroid hormone on exposure. So that's one thing. The other one, it's going to take longer to explain it to you, so I'm not sure I want to do that. but yeah, I have two that make sense and are very simple and cheap to do. But they both involve exposures, which, of course, in general, you want to avoid. Anyway, okay.
No, that's fascinating. I really appreciate you addressing that because, you know, that involves going to the medical profession and getting having a blood draw.
And they won't do it until this is actually shown to be effective. And that's the problem. The problem is I haven't been able to get anybody to actually do the studies. It's not that hard to do them, but, you know, it takes some time and some money.
Right.
That's where we are. I think, in fact, that it's highly likely that both multiple chemical sensitivity and EHS, which is electromagnetic hypersensitivity, that they have roles, I believe, in a lot of different diseases. One of them is Alzheimer's. Another one, I think, is autism. And right. I think there are probably many others. But, you know, but the problem is people look at these things as if they're some kind of weird thing that nobody understands. And that of course, the industry claim doesn't exist. So, you know, so we're in this...
We have the music going on, and we are taking callers. We already have two lined up. So if you want to get in line, you know, go ahead and call into the station. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to the show with Dr. Martin Paul. We do have caller Francis in North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Francis. Do you have a question for Dr. Paul? Are you there, Francis?
This is Lynn in Maryland.
Oh, well, we've got... Francis was just before you, but we'll take Lynn in Maryland, and maybe Francis will be after you, okay?
Okay. All right. Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you, Dr. Paul. Before I say anything else, I just want to say, if you remember Linda in Pennsylvania, she was my late friend, and she always spoke so highly and appreciated you so much. So mm-hmm. I wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you.
And you probably remember... 2 weeks ago, there was a U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee meeting, and it was about children's safety online and to protect them. Now, all they focused on was design, but Josh Hawley, who I would usually never agree with, actually tried to say, because everybody agrees, it was totally bipartisan. It was amazing, actually. But what he brought up was to outlaw children before the age of 16 using social media. You should have seen the reaction of the people in the room, including all the panelists, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a woman whose son committed suicide. It was like, no. And that's what happens when anybody thinks that you may be putting their cell phone use in jeopardy. But the thing is, the door was opened, and I started making calls. And because nobody ever addresses the actual wireless part of that, because even if you change the design techniques that create addiction and the pull, even if that was ever changed, they'll just beam you with microwaves. So I said, and remove Wi-Fi from schools. I don't think kids should be learning on tablets. Number one, nobody learned anything when they were out of school during the pandemic. But also, Joe Biden, John McCain, and Ted Kennedy, all three died of glioblastoma. On February 21st in the Washington Post, there is an article in the health section of this woman who was finally diagnosed after years of weirdness with this cancer called oleodendroglioma, which is in both sides of her frontal lobe. It's uncurable. Now, what are the odds of this? There are only about 1,100 people in the entire country diagnosed a year, and both her and somebody in her church have that cancer. She has on, there's a picture of her, she has on a Fitbit. I'm like, well, I'm sure she has a Bluetooth in her ear. And people don't understand, because this is invisible, how it is affecting them. And then last Thursday, Shane Harris in the Washington Post, you know, the government's now done a report about Havana syndrome, and it's not some foreign actor that's causing any of those symptoms, which are now being treated at Walter Reed. There might have been something else, but thank you for letting me get all that out, because I really appreciate you. I got offline in 2017 when I learned that they were running VR in the background of all phones and browser screens. I was already in the process of getting rid of wireless. It is absolutely addicting. Getting rid of my home cordless phone was a doozy, and you won't really notice the effects of how different you feel for probably 6 weeks. And it'd be like an aha moment about how different and better life is. Thank you.
What was your question? You don't have a question. Okay.
Well, it's all of that, because people don't want to face it. And we're literally killing ourselves. I mean, if we don't have ants and bees and trees and vegetation, we can't survive. And ants are dying. You know, we used DDT and it didn't kill bees and ants.
No, there were two U.S. patents approved for use in the year, one in the year 2000 and the other in 2001. We're using millimeter waves, which is the frequencies that's used in 5G, as insecticides to kill insects. They're so effective in killing insects. The other EMFs are effective too, but not as effective. I mean, so, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on with wildlife, and they are in general more sensitive than we are, but that doesn't mean, of course, we're not sensitive to it.
It's kind of like, you know, they want to say like it's surveillance capitalism, okay, and the whole thing with ads, I get all that, but that's almost like the ruse, because it gives us something to point to. The thing is, with the Havana syndrome folks, they were saying, well, it could have been the pesticator in the wall. I'm like, it's the big pesticator, folks. Not only that, the electronic dog collar. You know, I mean, it's going to control us. You go to Social Security, you get Medicare, you have to have a cell phone and an email address. I had the woman screaming at me, saying, why don't you? And I hadn't verbalized it, and I said, for religious reasons. I repented of that.
Well,
and
I
me,
get Social Security all the time, and I don't have cell phone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know that. Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, but of course, I started getting it years ago, so that's not, I don't know what's going on. It is problematic. Let me just say, I don't agree with that claim that they said that Havana syndrome is not caused by microwave weapon. I don't agree with that. I society.
Of course not, because it was used in Russia decades ago against our embassy in Moscow.
And we know a lot more about how to do it now than we did decades ago. And there have been studies done in Russia and in the U.S. and in various other countries on microwave weapons. And they don't publicize it, but there is stuff that we know a lot about it.
Even Antony Blinken said that he's not denying that a lot of those people were harmed by something, but they're just saying that it wasn't a foreign alien actor. And I'm like, okay,
how do they know that?
Answer.
I mean, what's the evidence?
Well,
people
have gotten hit down by the White House.
Huh?
People, the woman who worked for Vice President Pence, she actually got hit twice leaving her office down by the White House.
Yeah.
They're not lying.
Well, no, I don't think they are lying. And I think that, we've had, I think this is real stuff. And I believe it is a microwave weapon. The microwaves have the properties that they penetrate well, but they can be also focused on particular things. So you can use an antenna to focus it, on a particular person or at least a particular place. And all the evidence that's been published about what happened in Havana Syndrome is consistent with that kind of pattern. So I don't know. I don't believe these claims, and when they state them, they just give opinions. They don't give any evidence. Science is always based on evidence.
Well, they didn't stop treating them at Walter Reed either. That tells us all something.
I think the symptoms are actually very similar to the symptoms of EHS.
Yeah.
So,
and, well, one woman's blind. She actually had a detached retina.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can fine-tune it. When I got offline, there were over 600 specific effects based on the frequency and pulse rate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you for allowing me the time.
Yeah, now, Dr. Paul, I took some notes when we had a talk the other day, and you were saying there's a range of sensitivities and also the tissue distribution. There's a variance in all of the studies and all of people, but the range of sensitivities of how people might, express EHS. I think that's what we were talking about. And I know you look at a lot of different papers, a lot of different studies. And would you like to comment on what you understand the range of sensitivities can be?
Well, I mean, it's gigantic. I mean, it's not, the media comments have been mostly about the people who were extraordinarily sensitive, but there's a whole range, in fact, it's probably the case that there's nobody around who has no sensitivity at all. That there are any really properly normal people nowadays, and I include myself in that.
Right.
Yeah,
we're all affected.
The other thing is the sensitivity mechanism is based on the VGCC sensitivity in the individual cells of the body. So when you have parts of the body maybe have been exposed to much more radiation than other parts, you can easily get a lot of variation in patterns depending on what kinds of exposures people have had. And we do have, evidence, for instance, that, when people use their cell phones, they get sensitive on that side of the head and not on the other side. And they develop headaches from cell phone use on one side of the head where they use their cell phone and not on the other side.
But so, even being in a room with wireless stuff, you know, we have a couple callers, so mm-hmm. Is it okay if we take them?
Fine with
me. I think
it
would be good. Yeah, okay. So we have Francis in North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Francis. Sorry for the mix-up. Is Francis there? Okay, so we'll have Jerry. Sorry about that, Francis. So we'll have Jerry. He's on line three. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Sure.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yep. Well, I hear you.
Go ahead.
Plenty good.
Oh, you're here. Okay, great. Thanks for the show. It's been very enlightening. I just have a question for Dr. Paul. There was a time about, I guess it's been about maybe, well, it was before the pandemic, so it was probably about three and a half years ago. There was a whole series of people having really bad falls in the area that I live in, and a bunch of different people that I knew were on bikes and had really bad accidents, like within the, I don't know, a really short period of time. And I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of any of these sort of directed weapons, the lasers, like, used to cause people to fall. Because I actually had a time when I fell, and I felt like somebody pushed me, and I don't, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was just what was in my head. So I just wanted to ask about that.
Well, there are effects, you know, on the nervous system. So, you know, it's, I guess you're asking, could this have been a microwave weapon? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think
have
the
you
answer
heard
is,
of it?
I have not heard of it, but that doesn't, lots of things I haven't heard of. So, you know, nobody's an expert on everything, and I'm certainly not. So, no, I haven't heard of it, but I'm not surprised. It's not something that, you know, that.
Yeah, because a couple of people, well, all three of them that I heard about, but there mm-hmm. was that I knew these people actually hit their head. One of them died, and so it was just kind of pretty strange. Coincidence, it seems like, and it made me think about that, you know, what you're talking about, the weapons,
yeah,
the lasers or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's
but those are the kinds of things that they might be working on, right? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if I can comment on that, but Jerry, there is a whole bunch of things like that. I mean, you can get vertigo from it, but the 5G, there's a lot of potential with the 5Gs of these short waves for, you know, doing those kind of that kind of weaponry. And I know someone that was, you know, well, the host before me, I know she was attacked by 5G and that it was designed. It's a military grade weapon. So this is on top of 4G. So there's a lot of experiments they have done with 5G to turn it into a weapon just like that. But anyway, I'm just saying there is some stuff that I can send to Dr. Paul. For a lot of us, we've looked into this kind of thing, and so it's out of the realm of conspiracy. It's into the realm of, you know, studies and fact. So, but anyway, thanks. I appreciate your call, and we're going to go ahead and move on to my buddy in Idaho, who's very happy to have Dr. Paul on. And that's Keith Cutter, I believe, in Idaho. Let's go ahead and welcome to the show, Keith.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Dr. Paul, I have a question regarding the voltage-gated calcium channel mechanism and the implication towards what kind of disease can issue forth from chronic exposure. So if I understand your work correctly, the efflux of calcium can lead to the production of both reactive oxygen and nitrogen species, which would increase oxidative stress. And then if chronic...
It's actually an influx of calcium in the cell. Yeah, but yes, it does do that, yes. You get increases in superoxide and nitric oxide and peroxynitrite and a lot of highly reactive free radicals.
And then the implication in the body is, one of the implications is inflammation. And if the exposure is chronic, then it becomes chronic inflammation. And then I understand that to be the fountainhead for all or many or most chronic disease, but I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
You're absolutely correct about that, yes.
So it could literally manifest as diabetes in one person or cancer in another or heart disease in another or, as we've already talked about, Alzheimer's?
Yeah, lots of things. Almost everything. Yeah. Cancer, let me say, is more complex than most of these others. So it's a little bit more complicated, but what is clear is that the EMFs cause the kind of DNA damage that's involved in causing cancer. But they also have roles in other parts of the process of carcinogenesis as well, cancer causation as well. So, there. I think I've got something like 44 different published review articles that argue that EMFs cause cancer in various ways. And the only reason why we're still discussing this is because the industry has so much money and so much power. That's the only reason. The evidence is very clear. And so, anyway, yeah.
May I ask a question regarding human reproduction? We talked a little bit about the fact that males are impacted with regard to sperm motility and mm-hmm. whatnot, morphology and sperm
and
counts.
Sperm count and apoptosis and all of those things.
And yet they can recover, if they got to a pristine place and, for a couple of weeks or whatnot, they would have the opportunity to potentially recover from that. I know the studies are more, they're easier to do, they're cheaper to do on males than females because you'd have to sacrifice the animal in order to observe what's going on with mm-hmm. the ovaries.
Yeah. So they have done studies on.
So I would just like to know, because my understanding is with regard to the ovaries, you're born with all of the eggs you're ever going to have, and they don't have a good repair mechanism. And so if there's damage that occurs there due to, say, an infant using a tablet or a cell phone or whatnot,
I'm not sure it's quite that early, but it's before puberty that all the eggs are developed, is my understanding.
Okay. But still, is it the case that if those are damaged, there's no recovering from that?
Yes. That's right. And that's been, and there are people who've been concerned about, specifically about female reproduction, that apparently some of the studies that have been done have been classified, and so the information is not available in the literature on female reproduction. But I think it affects both male and female reproduction, and I think that's clear. But as I say, the evidence in male reproduction is much, much greater than with female reproduction, just because it's easier to study.
Wow. Classified, really? Okay, well, anyhow, thank you, Keith. I appreciate your questions. We have Greg in California. We'll try to whip through another one. Caller, do you have a question, Greg? Welcome.
Yes, hi, Ingrid. Hi, Dr. Paul. Hey, I have a question. I'm been listening to much of your discussion, and I wonder, do you, Dr. Paul, know about the 802.15.4 biosensors and the 802.15.5 wireless sensor network and the 802.15.6 6G or 6th generation low-power personal area network that has been deployed since 2005, formally put together since 2009, that's my understanding, and fully operational 2012, and 6G was rolled out in 2019 and is fully operational as a personal area network. Are you aware of those things?
No, I'm not.
And then are you aware that the heart and the bladder are a radio frequency sync that contain nodes that are accessible remotely by a wireless network, and that the human body has been wireless for 6,000 years, and this has been kept secret from us since 1863.
Okay, you're going to have to send me the evidence on this because I don't know. And okay. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, well, I'll send you the evidence, and I'll send it to Ingrid, and she can forward it to you. But the evidence is overwhelming.
I'll send you his direct email. And
there's one last thing.
Right?
There's another thing that you call look up. It's military directive 3000. That's 3000 point, either 0.09 or 0.9. You can go online and type it in and look it up right now. You can type in all those things I gave, 802.15.4. You can find all the evidence of all these things existing that has been completely censored by everything except for one individual who's been talking about this since April of 2022. So I just want to make sure you guys were apprised of it and let your audience be aware that something exists with proof of how they're accessing all of us. And those bicycles, those people knocked off their bikes, it was somebody possibly with a remote control, which is an 802.15.6, hit on them, having fun with them, knock them off their bikes while they're riding their bicycles, hitting their radio frequency sync in their heart and their bladder. And, of course, if they hadn't had the jab, then obviously something else got those biosensors into their bodies. And we, according to the sources that I've read, says that our bodies have had the biosensors in them, started deploying them through the chemtrails and water and food and injections in 2005. So we're pretty much already walking biosensors that Karen Kingston unfortunately calls a demon field because she's hiding what it really is. So, and it's a military operation. Just go to Dr. Jane Ruby.
It is definitely military. So thank you, Greg. And we're at the end of the show. If you can send that to me, I'll post it in the chat room, you know, a summary of that.
I'll send it to you. Okay, I'll send it to you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Greg. And that was pretty much the end of the show. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Sorry we didn't get to Mike in Kentucky. I can give you direct contact. So anyway, thank you for everyone listening. And thank you, Dr. Paul and Jenna.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Paul. We really appreciate you're a giant in your field. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. So, yeah, very interesting discussion.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros's role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, In Defense of the Republic.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.